Sure, appreciate the opportunity to be with you again this morning. Hard to believe that our time together is once again passed, and this will be the last chance we have to worship publicly together at this meeting. And no problem with taking my time, Brother Chris. It's not the first time you've done that, and it won't be the last. So just kidding. Brothers can say that to each other. And we're saved by the bell, it sounds like. It's either a thief or somebody is fumbling around for a cough drop in their pocket. There we go. They found it. They found the cough drop. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, for the remaining time. I want to use as a text this morning, Luke, the 5th chapter, and the 5th verse. Luke, the 5th chapter, and the 5th verse. And Simon answering said unto him, that is Jesus, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I want to speak to you for a few minutes about nevertheless, at thy word. As we dwell upon the life of Peter, we often give him a hard time, which we should. Last night, we were sitting around Brother David's house there, and some of my local jesters that I spend quite a lot of time with were definitely yucking it up and having a good laugh on their local prophet. And I quoted the scripture, you know, that a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. So that, of course, being my wife, was the primary one laughing at something funny that I had done, or something not really funny, just something really stupid that I had said or done. But hey, that's just I need that. I need that. I need to make sure that I'm laughing at myself and not taking myself too seriously. Amen. I need that. So thank you, Sister Tracy. Have another laugh on me. But we often give Peter just maybe too hard of a time, because, you know, you think about his personality. Really, if you study the scriptures, you'll find that the personality of Peter was most often broken down and looked at and observed based on the scripture that we have here. But I'm going to tell you something about Peter. There was something about Peter that obviously the Lord saw in Peter, leadership quality in Peter, that I believe is embodied in what Peter says right here. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I want to kind of give you a little bit of a context here of what was going on, and also consider the three different times that you read about in the scripture that Peter went fishing. Now, Peter was not just a fisherman like Brother David is, and some of you in the congregation, where you would go out and take a rod and reel or a cane pole. And of course, I notice I did not include myself in that number. You amen that, I know. Yeah, you amen. If I am not a fisherman, but I know how to fish because I go with good fishermen. That's the only way that I can fish.
Amen.
And if you're looking for a cheap lure, don't go to Walmart. Just go into the trees on the Ocklawaha.
Amen.
And you'll find all of the lures that I have hung in the trees and put on the bottom too, right, Brother Boo? So, anyway, I'm not a fisherman. But aside from having just a sporting time and enjoying a relaxing time of fishermen, these men were career fishermen.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the definition of fishers there in the book of Matthew and in Luke and in John, it comes from the root word for salt. So these men were saltwater fishermen. And having been to Africa a couple times with Brother David, we have observed that firsthand. As a matter of fact, the first time we went to the seashore there and baptized some folks there in the water, and we saw these old boats, old wooden boats, and we saw nets and different things. And whenever we were there the second time, we actually observed some of those fishermen out in a bay very far away actually net fishing. And it was very fascinating to see that, because that's just an uncommon thing anymore. As we think of net fishing today with these big industrialized type boats that have these huge nets they drop down by a motorized a crane. But this was literally the primitive way of the way these men career fished. So this was their livelihood. This is what their fathers taught them to be, were career saltwater fishermen, net fishermen. So the first time that you see Peter in Matthew, the 4th chapter, it says that he was casting a net with his brother
there, Andrew, and also you see James and John. They were also with their father in the boat there. They were with Zebedee, their father, and it says that they were mending their net. So they, if you'll read through the scripture, the different times that we find Peter fishing, at different times he's casting a net, there's mending nets, there's washing nets, all of the aspects of being a full-time fisherman. And here is Peter in Luke, the fifth chapter. You find him saying, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Now, the first time that Jesus encountered Peter at the seashore, not the first time he encountered Peter, but the first time that we read about him encountering Peter at the seashore was in Matthew, the fourth chapter. Right. Now, the first time that Jesus encountered Peter was when he did not have the surname that was given to him by Jesus, Peter, but in John, the first chapter, where we read it. We don't say much about Andrew because Peter kind of overshadows the situation. But Andrew, his brother, was already a disciple and follower of John the Baptist. And that's when Andrew encountered Jesus as John testified and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Jesus had already been baptized. Jesus had already been tempted in the wilderness. Jesus had already been going about the area preaching and teaching, and John identifies Jesus again as the Lamb of God. Andrew sees that, and another disciple, they follow Jesus for the day, and then Andrew goes back and tells Simon, his brother, and says, "We have found him." Yep. And then Jesus encounters Peter, and he says, he gives him a new name. He says, "Behold, thou art Peter, Cephas." He gives him a new name. That'd be interesting, first time you meet somebody, they come up and give you a new name. So Simon Peter is now, went from Simon to Simon Peter. So in Matthew, the fourth chapter, you find Jesus coming along encountering Peter, the first time recorded, that he encountered Peter at the Sea of Galilee. And they're fishing, they're casting their nets. And in the first encounter, Jesus, he looks at Simon Peter there in Matthew, the fourth chapter, and he says this, he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. He goes on and encounters James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and they're mending their nets, and he calls them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And then they follow Jesus going about doing the things that they do, that Jesus is doing there in the area. All right, well, you fast forward, some time passes, miracles have been done, sermons have been preached, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, they have been preached, the Blesseds, there on the mountain have been preached. A lot of things have happened. And not only that, I kind of find it a little bit interesting that just shortly before the second encounter at the Sea of Galilee, there in Luke, the fifth chapter, which we're reading from, that is when Peter's mother-in-law was healed. You know, I don't know what was really going on there. She had a fever, you know, but it's interesting to me that Peter follows Jesus all the way up until that point when his mother-in-law was healed. And she's healed of her fever, and then he kind of disappears from Jesus. I'm not going to comment on that at all about the relationship of Peter and his mother-in-law. But after she is healed of her fever, then Peter kind of drifts away, and Jesus has another encounter with Peter at the Sea of Galilee. Here it's referred to as the Sea of Gennesaret. And elsewhere in John 21, it's referred to as the Sea of Tiberias. Now, don't be confused by all those different names. It's just different nicknames that the people in the different regions had. And if you think about the nicknames just a little bit, you can kind of get an idea about where they were. Over here, when Jesus first encounters, if you can picture the Sea of Galilee and many towns around that sea, Jesus encountered Peter at the Sea of Galilee. It's referred to Galilee. So it's probably in Bethsaida, which is the hometown of Peter and James and John. Another time, when he encounters him, he refers to as the Lake of Gennesaret, which there's a town called Gennesaret on the west, on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. And then in John 21, he refers to it as the Sea of Tiberias. And down south, there is another town called Tiberias, which was named after the Caesar. So they're in different, you can kind of figure out the regions that they encountered Jesus in as he refers to this. Here is the Lake of Gennesaret. So probably to the west, and Peter has left again. And I'm so glad for the patience of God. So Jesus has done all these great works, and they've seen all these great things, and Peter's mother-in-law has been healed of a terrible fever, and then Jesus is walking along again by the Sea of Galilee, and it says that he saw two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them. They were washing their nets this time. They'd been casting, they'd been mending. Now they're washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which just happened to be Simon Peter's ship, and prayed, Simon Peter, that he would thrust it out, and he preaches off the bow of the ship there to the multitudes that are gathered there on the seashore. Now just picture that in your mind. I'm a very visual-oriented type person. I like to picture it in my mind. Jesus standing on the bow of the ship, this fishing vessel. It was not a great big craft. It was just something that would allow Jesus to be above the crowds. And they're on the shore there, probably an angled shore that led down to the sea. People are gathered there. The fishermen are over here washing their nets. And Jesus stands up and he preaches there to them. And then when he finishes preaching, everything's quiet. He looks at Peter and he says in verse 4, this is Luke 5 and verse 4. He says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. You say, well, that sounds like fun. Well, just, hey, Jesus said to let down our nets. Now, think about this. Jesus was in occupation, was not a fisherman. Right. He was a carpenter. Right. So you fishermen, I mean, it's really a lot like me going fishing with Brother David. And Brother David does not look at me on the Ocklawaha River and say, Brother Tim, which sluice should we go into? He said, sit here, dummy. And just be quiet. You know, the first time I went fishing with Brother David, the first day, he was so nice and so kind and so polite. Now do this, Brother Tim. Now, buddy, now do this. Okay, now put it over here. And the next day, it was just all, the honeymoon was over, you know. He realized how dumb I was. And I don't include my son in that number, you know, because he's actually doing better than I am. But he realized how ignorant I was. And so he went from, and we were referring to him as our daddy that first day, and the next day he went to boss daddy, you know. The honeymoon was over, you know. It would be like me going to the Ocklawaha River and saying, now, Brother David, I think you ought to go down this way. As a matter of fact, the next time we went, and Brother John Anthony was our guide, and he got us kind of a little sideways on a different slough, and I mean, I couldn't tell him, well, you went the wrong way, because I didn't know where we were. So you see, you know, how would you like a fisherman to come to the carpenter's bench and say, all right, now you're not cutting this just right. You need to do a little better. It wouldn't work, would it? Why would a carpenter tell fishermen what to do? And here a carpenter, they knew he was the carpenter. The carpenter says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or to catch something. And now here goes Peter. And listen to his description. He says, Master, we've toiled all night.
That's right.
The word toiled right there, the definition of that word, it means to engage in activity and work to no avail. That's what it means. You know, I've pulled all-nighters before, whether it was studying or working on something or doing this or doing that, working hard. And in the morning, even when you were so tired, you had that sense of accomplishment that we got something done at least.
Right.
They don't have that. They have toiled all night. These are young and strong men. They've cast the net out into the sea, and that is no easy task to accomplish. And then they pulled that net back, and they brought in nothing. You know, today we would say, well, they just brought in an old hubcap or a boot or something, you know. They brought in nothing, and so they didn't just do that one time. These men, their livelihood depends on what they're doing here. And they're casting, and they're hoping we'll pull in some fish. And they're casting again and again for a 10 to 12 hour period, all night long. They'd heard the fishing was good here at night. And so they go out with their lanterns and they're out in the water, out there fishing in the saltwater fishing, and they're pulling in nothing. And Peter, no doubt, is frustrated. And he says, Master, you're a carpenter. What are you thinking? you go hammer on some wood, you know, put some nails in a plank. I'm the fisherman. Master, we've toiled all night to no avail. We have taken nothing. But here he comes.
That's right.
And this is the attitude that every child of God ought to have.
Amen.
Because you know as well as I do that you've toiled all night at things. And you've toiled even maybe metaphorically at things for years. And you've tried to fit a square peg in a round hole. And you've tried to do it your way. And you've tried to make it happen. And you've tried to get it done. And you have availed yourself of nothing. Just like Peter availed himself of nothing because he was casting all night. And they were drawing in and wearing themselves down to a nub. And they were exhausted. And they'd had no sleep throughout the night. And he says, nevertheless, and that's the attitude we need. I've done it my way, but nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.
Amen.
He didn't say, nevertheless, I will let down the net.
That's right.
He didn't say, well, I'll just do it, you know, because maybe it's a good idea. He said, because you have said it out of your mouth, I will do it.
Amen.
Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. That's the attitude that we need.
Amen.
Now, let me get this picture for you. I am telling you that Peter's heart was not in this. His heart was not in it. His mind was not in it. His body was not in it. But nevertheless,
amen,
at thy word, I will let down the net.
Right.
There's going to be times in your life when serving God, when your heart is not in it.
Right.
Boy, there's going to be times in your life when your body is not in it because you're exhausted or maybe you're sick.
Yeah.
And there's going to be times in your life when your mind is not in it.
Right.
Because you've been distracted by the things of the world or spent so much mental concentration trying to do it your way.
Yeah.
I know whereof I speak.
Amen.
I've lived this, I've walked this, I've tried this, and yet we come back to this one principle. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.
Amen.
Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down the net. It's interesting. It's an interesting play on words that he gives here. Because launch out into the deep, defined, launch out means to come up to a higher place. And then when he says, let down thy nets, it means to go down to a lower place. Now, you know, I'm not trying to make more out of what the wording there is, but it's interesting to me that Jesus is calling them to come up to a higher place where they will actually experience a lower place.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because is that not the experience of the child of God?
Amen.
When God shows you who he is and you see by the scripture and by having it written on your heart in the new birth and the scripture confirms that and you see how high he is, it takes you to a high place,
yeah,
but it also puts you in a lower place.
Amen.
That's what we need. That kind of humility is what we need. To see Jesus high and lifted up, was that not the experience of Isaiah over there in the book of Isaiah? And whenever it says that he beheld the Lord and his train filled the temple, Isaiah didn't walk up and start wanting to have a handshake. Hey, Lord, it's me. It's Isaiah. I'm here. I'm your buddy. I've been preaching for you for years, you know. How do you like me? When Isaiah saw the Lord, when he looked up and saw the Lord and what he was and his glory, and the cherubims were there, and they were crying out, holy, 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 and the pillars of the temple were literally shaking because of the power of God and the presence of God. He hit the dust. You hear me?
Amen.
He came up to a higher place, but he went down to a lower place.
Right.
And he wouldn't even speak. Well, as a matter of fact, he did speak. And he said, woe is me.
That's right.
And the Lord said, who will go and give the message to the people? And of course, you know, eventually the Lord touched his tongue. And he said, I will go.
Right.
He came up to a higher place. And he went down to a lower.
Yeah.
Jesus says, launch out into the deep. Come up to a higher place with me. And I'll show you things that you've never seen before. How did Peter get there? How did he get there? His heart wasn't in it. His mind certainly wasn't in it. And his poor old 20-something-year-old body was depleted and worn out.
Yeah.
I heard them, you know, nefariously talking about me the other night when they thought I was in there asleep. I heard you. I'm not going to say who it was, Tracy. They said, you know, Brother Tim used to stay up all night long. And I'm laid in there. They think I'm asleep. You know, he used to just be a go-getter. He'd stay up pulling all-nighter. I'm so glad I'm not that person anymore. That was a hard life. I need my sleep. 7 hours minimum. I like 9. Sometimes I might get 10. But I got to have my sleep. It's too much going on in this world. I do not want to go night fishing with you. I do not want to cast nets. I don't even want to cast a rod and reel at night. I want to sleep at night. I might go out a little bit, maybe go and drive the four-wheel drive and maybe hunt or shoot an armadillo, but not past 11 or 12 o'clock. I want my sleep because I don't want to be, you don't want to see me now after I don't get sleep, right? Sister Tracy, be quiet. Don't say amen. Listen, you don't want to see me. I'm cranky. I'm mean. I bite your head off. You want me to get my sleep. You don't want me to go fishing with these guys. You don't want to see me in that condition. That's how these guys were. Peter's cranky. He's upset. He's biting Jesus' head off. We've been toiling all night, you carpenter. Who are you to come in here and tell us what we're supposed to do? Fishing. You're just an old carpenter. Nevertheless, his mind wasn't in it. His body wasn't in it. His heart wasn't in it. But he did it anyway.
Amen.
Listen to me, child of God. There's times in our life, if you haven't had them already, I trust you have.
But there will be times in your life when nothing within you naturally says to do what God says to do. And that is exactly why God has put His Spirit in you to counter that. So you'll have a voice within you, a hope within you, and direction within you that tells you to go the Lord's way. Come up to a higher place, and you'll be humbled down to a place lower than you've ever been before. The he that is greatest among you, let him be your servant down at the feet, see? So Peter, who we give such a hard time, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So Peter launches out into the deep, dishearteningly, without his heart being in it, he lets the net down. And I've tried to picture this. You know, Hollywood just can't capture this. Can you picture all of those hundreds of fish down at the bottom? And they've been at the bottom all night long. I mean, we might say, well, the Lord willed them to be at the bottom. I mean, that's possible. Or they could have just been a bad night of fishing. They could have been far away. But it's really odd to fish for 12 hours and not catch a single fish. So can you just picture all those fish down at the bottom down there? And Jesus sitting there on the boat. And here they go pushing out. And Peter's, this carpenter, man. What's he telling us what to do fishing? This guy's crazy. They cast the net out there. And Jesus just goes. And here come the fish. You know, just here come fish. You know, and all of a sudden, all these fish are just bubbling up at the top. And they're pulling in this huge net. That's a very dramatic thing. These men are exhausted. These men are worn out. These men don't have their heart or their mind in it. And then all of a sudden, they got this multitude of fishes. And they've got that shot of adrenaline, you know, too. And they're trying to pull it in. They can't even pull the net in. Hey, James and John, come over here. They beckon to their partners that were at the other ship. Come and help us. And they came. It sounds like the others didn't even go. So he says, come on and help us. And when Simon Peter saw it, oh, he falls down at Jesus' knees, who was just sitting there. You could picture him falling, not his feet, but his knees. He's just sitting there in the boat. And then he says to him, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Let me tell you something. When you say, when your body, your heart, and your mind is not in it, and yet you say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will do as you say, Lord. You will come back at some point and say, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. I should have never doubted you, no matter when my body was betraying me, and my mind was betraying me, and my heart was betraying me. Nevertheless, Lord, I doubted you. Forgive me, please. I'm just a sinful man or woman. Amen. You will do that. For he was astonished. I tell you, the Lord, in just the simple, basic, every day-to-day following of the Lord is astonishing to us and how good he is to us and how he provides for us. He was astonished at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also, now get this now, not only did Peter benefit from not listening to his heart, his mind, or his body, and nevertheless doing what God said, but some other people benefited too. I heard a guy say to me one time who was struggling with a particular sin. He said, well, Brother Tim, I ain't hurting nobody but myself. I said, you're a liar. You're hurting your mama and your daddy. You're hurting your brothers and your sisters. You're hurting your children. You're hurting your grandchildren. That is the deceitfulness of sin, to think that you're only hurting yourself. Amen. You're hurting everybody around you. But more important than that, you're quenching the Spirit and denying God when you do that. That's even if you weren't hurting anybody, you're embarrassing the Lord, see? So, in the same way that we can hurt other people because we're not following the Lord, oh, we can help other people because we do. Amen. So was also James and John, which were partners with Simon. They were astonished too. Where'd all these fish come from? They came from the Lord himself. And when they brought their ship, oh, Jesus said, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him.
I'd like to tell you that was the end of Peter's lesson. Peter liked to fish. He liked to fish. It was his occupation. His father had taught him well. A few years later, quite a group of men was gathered together there when Jesus had told them to go and wait in Galilee. I'll meet you there. Jesus said, I'll meet you there. And in John 21, denying Peter, old denying Peter, old doubting Thomas, old negative Nathaniel, and the two judgmental sons of thunder, and two other guys that were so embarrassed they didn't even name them. If I'd have been one of those two, I'd be like, don't tell them it's me there with them. Good gracious, doubting Thomas, negative Nathaniel, denying Peter's enough. I'm glad they didn't mention me. Peter goes fishing again. The Lord's so gracious. He's so merciful. You know what the Lord did? He didn't take a Zeus-like thunderbolt and zap him. He just loved him. He loved him and he taught him again. And he said again, as he said time and time again, follow me. Let me tell you something, child of God. Jesus said something very interesting to Peter. He said, Peter, when you were young, you did whatever you wanted to do, and you went wherever you wanted to go. Is that not the attitude of us when we're young? I'll do whatever I want to do. My parents won't tell me what to do. Or if they do tell me what to do, I'll manipulate it in a way where it will benefit me. I've got the world before me, and I can do anything I want to do. Well, let me tell you something. If you're a young man and you happen to be called to preach, that's going to all change. But it's going to change for the child of God in general, too. When you realize that it's not about you doing anything you want to do, and it's not about you getting anything you want to get, it is about you glorifying the Lord. Jesus made that point to Peter. He says, you have done what you wanted to do. You've gone fishing as many times as you want to go. You keep going back to it. And I keep being patient and loving with you. But there'll come a time when another will lead you about. Oh, and I want to tell you, child of God, that time for us as children of God is now. Let another lead you about. Let the Lord Jesus Christ lead you about. Because his ways are ways of peace and righteousness. May God bless you.
Amen. Nevertheless.